This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR. Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. It helps when I have my headphones turned up all the way. Good morning, I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. That's why I was looking at you weird, Mike, was because I couldn't hear myself, but it's because I had my headphones turned down so low. All right, we're off and rolling on this slick and icy Sunday here in Western New York. If you're out there on the roads, take it easy, although it's warmed up a little and rainy. Probably your neighborhood side streets are still a little slick this morning, while some of the roadways, it's kind of turned to slush and is just kind of piling up out there. Hopefully you're just staying inside and enjoying this one from home this morning. And I would say you've got a NASCAR race to look forward to, but I'm not sure if that's even going to happen today, as NASCAR is in Bristol for their first visit of the year, the Food City 500 coming up. Green flag just after 1 o'clock. NASCAR did move the start time up to 1 o'clock this afternoon, and we will have the race, weather permitting, here on WGR, courtesy of our friends at the Performance Racing Network. Doug Rice and company will have the call if they go racing today. It is raining currently at the Bristol Motor Speedway down there in Thunder Valley, and we'll get a further weather update from Matt Weaver of Auto Week. Matt's going to join us at the bottom of the hour here this morning, give us an update on what's going down at Bristol, and just talk about the NASCAR world in general, as we are about almost eight races into the 2018 season for the Monster Energy Cup Series. And speaking of Monster Energy and NASCAR, that's kind of where this first segment is going to be about. And I'm going to get to that in a minute, and kind of ties into what I started to talk about last week, too. But Twitter is open here at FastTrack550, Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. And, of course, the phone lines are open, 803-0551. 888-550-2550 are the numbers if you want to get in touch and talk about anything going on in the world of motorsports, NASCAR, IndyCar in Long Beach this weekend, and Alexander Rossi having a great weekend so far. They will go racing this afternoon. No problem about weather in Long Beach, California today. They will go racing. So you've got the IndyCar race to look forward to if there's weather problems in Bristol. Formula One had a wild one in China already today, as Daniel Ricciardo getting the win for Formula One. NHRA off this weekend, but they ran the first four-wide race at Las Vegas last week. That was pretty exciting. Good stuff there. So anything going on in the world of motorsports. I would say local racing season is going to start very soon, but Mother Nature screwing that up as well, as The scheduled season opener for Lancaster Speedway that's supposed to be this coming Saturday, that's already been rained out. In fact, both April dates at Lancaster have already been wiped off the schedule because of this long-term winter we are currently going through, and it's made it hard to get the property ready for the 2018 racing season. So that's already been pushed back to May 5th for Lancaster's opener. I know I think Merrittville tried to have a practice session yesterday. That got rained out, although they did have the BRP driving school up there last weekend somehow. They were able to put cars on the racetrack. But and then Ransomville's coming up the final Friday in November, or November, it might feel like November, last Friday in April with their practice and time trial events. So we're getting closer, although the weather, you know, still seems like it's February. It is mid-April, and we may see race cars on a track somewhere here in Western New York and Southern Ontario very soon. So anything going on, again, 803-0551, 888-552-550. But last week, I started to talk about the schedule in NASCAR as we got kind of a low, under the radar, I guess, low pomp and circumstance, not a lot of hype behind a announcement of the 2019 NASCAR Cup Series schedule, which is virtually a carbon copy of this year's schedule minus the adjustment for Easter. Pretty much it is all the same tracks, all the same in all the same order, just some slight date adjusting for the Easter break, but everything else remains the same pretty much from 2018 to 2019, and that led to some disappointment from some, including even from the likes of Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch that have commented on it in the last couple of weeks since the announcement came out. But we had the schedule announcement, and then this week, to add to that, we had the announcement that Monster is coming back for another year as the title sponsor for the Cup Series. As the initial deal that NASCAR had signed, it was a pretty what originally was a 2-year deal, but there was talks of renegotiation and would they come back for a third year, and the Monster kept pushing back the deadline, saying, "Oh, we need more time," and that left it up question mark in the air. We had Adam Stern from Sports Business Journal earlier this year on this program. He said it was 50-50 when we talked to him back in February, but we finally got the confirmation that Monster will be back in 2019. However, that is it. The 2019 will be the final year, apparently, as the Monster Energy Cup Series, because NASCAR is already committed to exploring a new business model for their entitlement sponsorship for their biggest series. That it sounds like that come 2020, the NASCAR Cup Series or Premier Series or whatever they're going to call it, it won't be Monster Energy Cup Series, it won't be Sprint Cup, it won't be Sponsor X Cup Series or Sponsor X Premier Series. It's going to be the NASCAR Cup Series or the NASCAR Premier Series, and it may be the NASCAR Premier Series presented by sponsors A, B, C, and D, because that's, it sounds like, what NASCAR is going to try to go to. Like most sports leagues, you know, it's the NHL, it's the NBA, it's Major League Baseball, it's not, you know, it's not Coca-Cola presents Major League Baseball, it's Major League Baseball. NASCAR is going to go that route where their name of their biggest property, it does not have a sponsor in it, but they will have a glutton, a series of a list of official series sponsors. One example that has been bandied about, and I don't follow the sport, unlike most of my Twitter followers on weekend mornings, I don't follow soccer, but one example of this was the Premier League. When they dropped from being called the Barclays Premier League, and when that deal ran out, they, instead of signing another title sponsor, they're just now called the Premier League, and they have a list of official league sponsors that get to use branding and everything. And it sounds like that's going to be what NASCAR is going to, starting in 2020. So it'll be the NASCAR Premier Series or Cup Series. I sounds like that they keep, although they kept the Cup Series title when they brought in Monster, that Premier Series phrase has been sticking around out there, and so I think that's something that you may see come 2020, that that's what they may call it and drop the word Cup from it. But it'll be the NASCAR Premier Series, and it may be presented by, you know, again, sponsor A, B, C, and D, kind of like the Sabres with their gold, you know, the gold ring partners, the banners and the logos at the top of the scoreboard at KeyBank Center. It might be something like that, where it's, you know, NASCAR Premier Series presented by Coca-Cola and Monster Energy and Capital One Bank and Tide or whatever, Tide Pods, you know, that's what it's going to be like in the future. So really, all of these decisions are leading to, the big UB 2020 project? Well, NASCAR 2020 might be a thing. The sport might have a whole new look come 2020 when it comes to at least scheduling and branding for the Cup Series or the Premier Series, whatever you're going to call it, in 2020. In addition to that, we've had those two announcements. We also had this week the announcement of the format for the All-Star Race, and or more importantly, the rules package for the All-Star Race, because the format isn't changing so much. They're going with the which I think they've kind of been doing the last couple of years, and that is the 30-20-20-10, so it's a 80-lap race with a 10-lap dash at the end. Of course, the winner gets $1 million. One of the changes is no longer any kind of mandatory pit stops. I think that there had been some kind of rule in years past, but this year you can pit strategy however you want. You can come in when you want. You don't have to make pit stops at certain times. The other kind of tweak to the format is that all the stages must end under green, so they'll use overtime rules at the end of stages if there's a caution at the end of a stage. So that's the tweak. The bigger change is the rules package, as NASCAR has announced that the cars will run restrictor plates on the engines at Charlotte for the All-Star Race, and that's something we've never seen done before, at least not some time. Of course, NASCAR toyed with restrictor plates on the Xfinity cars at Indianapolis last year, and that's where some of this comes from, the restrictor plates, plus the aero ducts on the front of the cars, which is also something they used at Indy last year for the Xfinity cars. The splitter will be how it used to be 4 years ago in 2014. They'll keep the current radiator pan, but go with the 2014 splitter for aerodynamic purposes, and also put a unique spoiler on the back of the cars with a 6-inch high spoiler with on the ends, 12-inch high ear is what they're calling it. So kind of similar to the spoilers on the Xfinity cars used to run as well, too. So all that being done, of course, to try and minimize the aerodynamic advantage a car in the lead has, and to try and encourage, of course, more passing on mile-and-a-half tracks, which, of course, brings me to all of this that I'm talking about, like I kind of talked about last week, was pretty much NASCAR is admitting that the problem isn't the cars. The problem isn't competition. It's the tracks. The problem is the tracks in the sport, and it's the mile and a half track. And you know, we talk about it all the time how bad the racing can be at mile and a half tracks. Now, last week's race in Texas wasn't, for a mile and a half track race, it wasn't that bad. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that cars kept cutting down right side tires, and that caused them to hit the wall. And while you feel bad when they do, especially, you know, Kyle Larson took a pretty good shot, you feel bad about that. I'm glad for it, because it created cautions and kept the race interesting, and we didn't get a long, painful green flag run. As much as I like long green flag runs at say an end of a race, we still get long runs early in the race, and it can lead to not a whole lot of excitement. So I was glad last week to see so many tire failures at Texas last week that kept the race a little more interesting, and you know, took some big guys out of contention early on, and kept it to a more interesting race. So, you know, it's a shame that NASCAR has to keep tweaking away at its rules packages, and it has to fix everything else to address the bigger problem of the mile and a half track, and just how incompatible their competition is with that type of racetrack. And fortunately, it's all a lot cheaper than trying to fix the tracks themselves. You know, instead of trying to cut them down to turning them into mile long tracks or shorter or whatnot, instead of having the facility spend hundreds of millions of dollars to do that, you know, they're trying to address it every other way possible with rules and stages and everything they've had to do to try and infuse some more excitement into these races, specifically the mile and a half races. It's been a challenge. So it goes back to last week to what I started to talk about, and then we had the guest on last week, but changing the schedule. And again, that is going to be the other part of NASCAR in 2020. And not only is the sponsorship model going to change, but the schedule is likely going to change come 2020, because that's when these five-year agreements with these racetracks end. These five-year sanctioning agreement NASCAR signed with all its facilities and all three major national series a couple of years ago that kind of has frozen the schedule, minus a few changes like the ones we had this year with New Hampshire and Las Vegas and Indianapolis and Chicago and everything, you know, that with tracks trading dates and everything. There hasn't been a whole lot of that with the last couple of years because of these five-year sanction agreements. So all these tracks are guaranteed these dates for 5 years, which, again, as I said last week's a great thing for a track like Watkins Glen, which, as we said, you know, 15 years ago, there was doubt every year if NASCAR is coming back. Now they can say, yep, for 5 years, for the first weekend in August, NASCAR at the Glen is going to be here, and you can buy your tickets 5 years in advance if you want to. I'm sure they would sell them to you if you asked. I think you can already buy them for 2019. They can do that. So that's the good part of the deal. The bad part is when the product changes and the tracks become less exciting, you're kind of locked in to what your schedule is because you've already guaranteed this date. So unless you can talk the track owners into trading dates, you're kind of stuck with what you got for 5 years. And that's we're seeing now long term that it might not have been the best decision. Short term, it sounded great. Long term, maybe not. So the schedule's going to change in 2020, and there's lots of things you can do, you know. One of them is the All-Star Race, by the way. Again, all these rules changes, the restrictor plates and everything, just shows you how bad the racing can be at Charlotte. I mean, heck, they took the fall date and they're putting it on the road course. That's another sign that the track is the problem, not the cars themselves. So more of these mile-and-a-half tracks could use to lose their dates. Unfortunately, they're important dates on the schedule. And, you know, of course, the companies that own them are Speedway Motorsports, which is Bruton Smith and Company, and then ISC, which is the France family. You know, they hold a lot of weight and clout, and they're not, and NASCAR just can't go taking dates from, especially the SMI tracks. Those are the majority of the mile and a half tracks, your Charlottes, Vegases, and Texases, and all that. You know, they're not going to give up dates and hand them over to Iowa Speedway, which is owned by NASCAR, of course. So, it'll be interesting how NASCAR goes about doing this, but they're going to have to do something. Unfortunately, the tracks that may suffer are some of the independent tracks, the Poconos and Dovers of the world that both have two dates and are not owned by ISC or SMI. They could be likely to lose a date. Also, a track that may lose a date is Michigan, which has seen downward attendance for its two dates, which are, you know, of course, so close together, only separated by 2 months on the schedule. So, and of course, it's Michigan, so you can't spread them out really any further weather-wise. So Michigan might be a place that loses a track. I would love to see Kansas lose one of its dates, but ISC has invested so much into that property with the casino and everything. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would love to see a place like Kansas lose a race. Texas, I think, like I said, the last week was an interesting race that they've had their some issues when they did some resurfacing, but I think Texas is a good market. Phoenix can definitely stay with two dates. Does Charlotte lose a date? And it doesn't even have to be a regular season race. Charlotte should lose the All-Star Race. There's so much you could do with that All-Star Race, which has traditionally been at Charlotte, of course, for like 30 years. The 1 year they did try to move it in Atlanta to Atlanta, which was like the second year of the Winston. It didn't go over so well, but now, you know, do what NASCAR should do, maybe what the NHL does with, or Major League Baseball does with its All-Star game, and put it out there for bids and open it up to tracks that are on the schedule, and maybe even to some tracks that aren't on a major NASCAR schedule. You know, see if they can put together a package. I'm sure it would take a lot for them financially to try and do that, but open it up to any facility that would like to host the All-Star Race. I think moving the All-Star Race to Iowa would be awesome. And you know, Iowa is this great short track, and it hosts Xfinity and Truck Series races, of course. It's never hosted a cup race. And, of course, the fear is if you start giving cup dates to Iowa, that would kill their attendance at Truck and Xfinity, their Truck and Xfinity dates that they own. But maybe make Iowa the ultimate neutral site track for the Cup Series and just make it the track that you have the All-Star Race at. Don't let it hold a regular season date or a playoff date or a points race, I should say. Just make it the home of the All-Star Race. And make it more unique, a short track, so it's going to be more exciting, a neutral site track, so data for the teams would be limited outside of what they would have, say, from the year before or what they got from Xfinity teams or whatnot. You know, I think Iowa would be a great place to put the All-Star race. Again, not a big, sexy, flashy market, I know, but it would, action-wise, and I think it would be well-supported with where it's located and everything. It's within so many major markets. I think it would draw really well. And, of course, just having it having Iowa help host a cup race obviously would just make it exciting to begin with because it's never held one. But, you know, open up the All-Star race. Move it out of Charlotte. Move it to, you know... You would have to, of course, you know, plan it out a couple years in advance so that the facility had enough time to promote it and everything to sell tickets. But, you know, open up to bids for from any track that would want to host it and that could put their own unique spin on and everything. You know, let the track decide. You know, let the track come up with a format for the race as part of its package to bring in the All-Star Race with NASCAR. Pitch format, pitch sponsors, you know, whatever that needed to put together a good show in. Move the All-Star race from year to year, like baseball and like hockey does every year, instead of having it at Charlotte, because it just seems like the Charlotte races have not been good in recent years, and that's why they're moving that fall race to the road course. And the Coke 600, of course, will still be on the mile and a half track, and so will the All-Star race with the rules package that we talked about before. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. So just all of these decisions are looming large for NASCAR here in the next couple of years, and as much as some NASCAR fans may hate change, get used to it, because there's more coming, because and maybe won't affect the racing so much, but the schedule will have a different look the sponsorship, the series, what we call it, is gonna change come 2020. A lot of people right now are bemoaning the schedule because of the weather. I mean, this is the third week in a row we've had havoc with the weather in NASCAR. You had, of course, the snow at Martinsville last week at Texas. The weather was up and down, and it was cold on Sunday, and that hurt attendance. And now today at Bristol, it's rainy and cold. But unfortunately, with that, NASCAR has kind of got their hand forced with what you can do at this point in the schedule. I mean, you can't just load up the early part of the schedule. You can't have, you know, Vegas and Phoenix and hold all both of their race dates early in the schedule. I mean, there's not a lot of places that you could maybe move this early in the schedule that aren't going through the same problems right now. Almost large parts of the country are dealing with rain and cold and ice. So there's not a lot of places that can hold NASCAR dates in March and in April. And, you know, I think this just the string of weather we're in is just kind of been bad luck for NASCAR. You could have had the exact opposite the last 3 weeks. You could have had gorgeous and 80 in places like Martinsville, Virginia, and Texas and Tennessee. Their weather is probably even more unpredictable than here this time of year because of where they're located. So, unfortunately, I don't know what else you could put on the schedule this early to get away from more weather problems. You've already gone to Daytona for February, the traditional open. You've already gone out west for three races with Vegas, Phoenix, and California. I'm not sure what you could put in this part of the schedule without staying in the southeast with at least the available facilities you have on your schedule. You're kind of stuck. Really, you can't go much more farther south unless you moved, you know, Atlanta already had their date in the books. I mean, you can't go much further south unless you put Talladega on the schedule this early or move Homestead earlier in the schedule. And that's another race that gets talked about. Kurt Busch talked about it. Making the championship race, put that up for bids every year. And I don't think that one is as easy as moving the All-Star race from year to year, partly because Homestead's got this deal with Ford that's like a 10-year deal that has a few more years to go. But I think I kind of like having the championship race at the same, having it at Homestead every year, making that the same track. So not as much for putting the championship race up for bids, kind of like the Super Bowl, but I would be in favor in putting the All-Star race up for tracks that want to bid on it. All right, coming up, we'll talk to Matt Weaver from Auto Week. He is in Bristol. We'll get the latest on the weather from Bristol and let you know if what the chances are of you hearing the Food City 500 here on WGR later today with a green flag just after 1 o'clock. Phone lines are open too, 803-0551, 888-552-550. We get back with more Fast Track here on WGR.
Hey guys, this is Trevor Bain, driver of the number 6 Ford for Roush Fenway Racing. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
I know it's a Christmas song, but I'm confused by the weather.
Yes, Thank you. 11:31 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan, WGR's Fast Track. The Xfinity Series was in action yesterday, and Ryan Preece, former guest of this program, picked up his second career Xfinity Series win as he out-dueled Brandon Jones on a late race restart and then pulled away from Justin Allgaier late to get the win and win the Xfinity Dash for Cash, which garnered him an extra $100,000, I believe. And Ryan, again, making the most of his limited starts with Joe Gibbs Racing and one of their Xfinity Series teams this year. But great to see the modified ace pick up another win. And it's good seeing these Northeast boys doing well. You got Stuart Friesen in the trucks, Ryan Preece, the Xfinity Series. Ryan Blaney, I guess we could sort of lay claim to Ryan because his dad races sprint cars and everything. But good to see these young kids from the Northeast doing well in NASCAR's top series. Speaking of the lineup for today's race, it was supposed to be an all Busch brothers front row with Kyle and Kurt. However, Kurt crashed late in practice yesterday, so he's has to go to a backup car, and he will fall to the tail of the field. And there's a lot of big names at the rear of the field. We'll get to that in a second, but it was supposed to be the Busch brothers on the front row. Brad Keselowski qualified third. Ricky Stenhouse, who's had some good runs at Bristol recently, he qualified fourth. Then Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, Paul Menard, who had a terrible day at Texas last week, hit the wall a couple times. He starts seventh. Alex Bowman, nice qualifying effort for the 88. How about Michael McDowell qualifying ninth in the Front Row Motorsports 34? Joey Logano, who's my pick for today, start qualifying 10th. Then you've got the youngsters William Byron and Daniel Suarez in row 6. Eric Jones starts 13th. Clint Boyer 14th. Chase Elliott 16th. Jimmy Johnson 17th. Here's some of those big names towards the back. Eric Almirola, Darrell Wallace, Bubba Wallace, qualified 20th. He had a good run last week at Texas, top 10 run. Then you've got Denny Hamlin, 25th, Martin Truex, 26th, Jamie McMurray, 31st, Kevin Harvick, who wrecked his car in practice and didn't even bother going off of qualifying. He will start at the tail of the field along with Kurt Busch. So you've got some big names. Harvick and Kurt Busch in the last row. You've got Truex and Hamlin in row 13, so it'll be interesting watching the big guys come from the back of the field to if we run today, but we'll talk to Matt Weaver here in a minute and find out. It'll be interesting to see some of the big guys have to come through the field as the folks at Bristol have applied the VHT, the traction compound, whatever you want to call it, the sticky stuff. They've applied that to the lower groove and to keep the cars on the bottom of the racetrack and try and create some of that conveyor belt style racing that leads to more excitement and bumping and all that fun stuff that used to make Bristol fun, but it's been a challenge in recent years with the changes they made to the track and making the outside groove the dominant groove. It was very obvious in the Xfinity race yesterday that the bottom groove was where you wanted to be. We'll see if how the Cup cars run today. They'll likely be on the bottom. I think you might have a better chance of seeing cars go to that outside groove today at Bristol and once we go racing this afternoon. But 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. And actually, I just looked up at the TV and I see Kenny Wallace on Race Day on Fox Sports 1, and they're exactly showing that, the traction compound that has been applied to the bottom groove, although I'm sure a little bit of that's washing off with the rain that is going on there, as we can see, or as I can see watching the TV here in the studio, seeing the very damp racetrack there at the Bristol Motor Speedway. But that traction compound, again, trying to make the bottom groove the fastest way around the racetrack and create some of that, again, bump and run and close contact racing that we are so used to seeing at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And speaking of which, we'll go to the hotline and bring in, from Auto Week and Short Track Scene, Matt Weaver joins us on the line. Matt, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good to talk to you.
Well, let's put on our meteorologist hat first, Matt, and how are things weather-wise? I just saw Kenny Wallace's live shot. It's not looking good.
No, it's not. It's a little damp outside, so we're kind of in a holding pattern. You know, on the bright side, if the mountains do break up some of these storms enough, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time for Bristol a half mile to dry, so hopefully that'll be the case later this afternoon.
Is it like all day rain? Is that the forecast, or do they have a window maybe later today where they even might, you know, put the lights on later?
Well, you know, it's so complicated because the mountains have a way of disrupting even the most solid and sound forecast.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an opening, a window, as it were, as I'm stepping outside now to try to get out of the media center. there's a bit of a window here later tonight. I'm not sure if it's enough to be able to get a full race in. And NASCAR people tell you all the time that they're not going to attempt to start the race unless they think they can get the full race in.
Sure.
So that's going to be the challenge here. And the problem is, again, that tomorrow the forecast is pretty bad as well. I think there's like a 60% chance of rain all afternoon tomorrow. So this could be a Tuesday race.
Fantastic. Tuesday racing, just what we need. Matt, of course, earlier in the week, we got the announcements of the All-Star changes and the extended deal with Monster Energy. And you wrote about it on AutoWeek.com, kind of just some big decisions looming for NASCAR here, just years away, and including some changes to how they're going to do the title sponsorship for the Cup Series or Premier Series, whatever they're going to call it. There's going to be some big changes coming on that front.
Yeah, I really think that this is an opportunity for NASCAR to reinvent its entire model in a lot of different ways. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a title sponsor for the Cup Series, like you said, after 2020, or after 2019, actually. But this is a chance for NASCAR to consolidate all of their partners into one. I mean, if you look at other professional stick and ball sports, football, Major League Baseball, they don't have a title sponsor. They have multiple sponsors. I think the best way to describe it to casual fans is that you look at the 48 car, right? They've had Lowe's as their only primary sponsor for years, and that's not the model anymore. You have to see cars have four or five sponsors to make the entire season work. And by NASCAR trying to have one single title sponsor, they could only get a believed to be $20 million for Monster a year, and that undercuts the team. So
yeah.
I think it makes a ton of sense to kind of move to a model where you have multiple sponsors and maybe you get a ton more money. You're not undercutting the teams. And if you can bundle that with your TV and your radio partners, your track, and remember, this is going to kind of somewhat coincide with the track sanctioning agreement too. It's going to be off by 1 year.
Yep.
If you can bundle all this together, you might be able to revamp the schedule. People are saying we need more short tracks, road courses, maybe even a street course. I think you could see great change, not only in the business of NASCAR, but also just the overall racing product as well.
Matt Weaver from Auto Week joining us. Matt, we also had the All-Star format / rules announcement. What are your thoughts on putting restrictor plates on the cars at Charlotte this May?
You know, my mentality is always, I'm not going to knock it until I see it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the dual tire format last year wasn't given a fair shot to be used again. I think the small sample size of this sport is hurting it in a lot of ways, because sometimes NASCAR throws things against the wall and they don't give it time to kind of gestate a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they tried the two-tire thing. They're going to try restrictor plates, which they used at Indianapolis last year for the Xfinity Series. So I don't know if it's going to be a good race, but I think that whatever they decide to do, they need to give it three or four attempts to get a larger notebook on. I don't know what the racing's going to look like.
Yeah.
It's no secret to anyone who watches NASCAR that the technology of the cars, the safety measures of the cars, is coming to the detriment of the racing product in a lot of ways. These mile-and-a-half races are sometimes, you know, to put it bluntly, they're unwatchable. And if NASCAR is going to try something to make these races more entertaining, I think we should give them all the leeway in the world to figure out what that looks like.
At what point, Matt, do you think where we get to, well, we've tried to change this, and this to the cars, and we can't make mile-and-a-half racing better? At what point do they say, we've got to change the tracks, and maybe not change all the tracks at once, but, you know, tell SMI, all right, you've got to change Atlanta this year, and then let's change it up to a mile, or take some banking out, or do this or this, and just start changing these mile-and-a-half tracks, because that seems to be the common denominator with these issues.
Yeah, I think Texas Motor Speedway missed a huge opportunity when they reconfigured the track. They changed the banking in one corner, but it stayed a mile and a half racetrack. You know, I've been very critical of the way that whole thing played out, because to me, if you're no limit Texas and you want to have no limit racing, do something interesting. Shake it up a little bit. You know, Parker Kligerman at NBC wrote a really great column. He said that Texas could have done something like the old Trenton Speedway, which was shaped like a pinto bean.
Yeah.
Or they could have reconfigured it into something like Iowa, 1 mile, just something to be different. And, you know, I think a lot of these tracks are going to have the opportunity within the next decade or so to face that question. And hopefully they choose a decision that was different than Texas, because they just gave us more of the status quo. And, you know, the status quo just isn't working right now. I think people's attention spans are way too short. These races are too long. There's not enough action. And there's a place for all of these tracks. I just don't know if the Texas and the Kansases and the Charlottes deserve 2 and 3 races. Even Dover, as unique as it is, Pocono. I think that you need to have 5 or 6 more races that you know are going to be like Bristol this weekend or Martinsville a couple of weeks ago, that bring out drivers' personalities and create storylines and rivalries. That's what's going to make people watch at Texas and watch Deer in the Chase when they're at Las Vegas or when they go to Kansas. That we just need things that shake it up.
And I agree 100% with Matt Weaver here from Auto Week. Matt, when we do finally go racing, it's going to be an interesting start to the race, because you've got some big names that are going to be deep in the field. Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex, they qualify poorly. Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch have had accidents in practice, had to go to backup cars. There's going to be some big guys that are going to have to pass a lot of race cars when this race finally starts.
Yeah, and we don't know what the track conditions are going to be either, because now this rain has completely shifted the dynamic. I thought the racing yesterday was just spectacular. It was old school Bristol. I wrote about that in my column. Everyone was stuck on the bottom. I don't know if that was just the heat. It was very warm. It was in the mid-80s yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was just the way the PJ1 track bite substance was applied. But now everything's out the window, because it's raining and it's going to wash away. Rubber that was laid down is going to wash away the chemical compound. And once the race resumes or begins, be it today, Monday, Tuesday, it's going to be cold. There's a chance of snow tomorrow, for God's sake. And so, you know, everything that they've practiced and learned throughout the weekend is not going to be applicable. So I think when you have faster cars in the back, you've got a completely different weather and track condition. I have no idea what to expect, but I will say, as much as I love the track conditions yesterday, the fact that teams have no idea what to expect now and the cars are not set up for what they thought it would be, I think it's going to make it a fun race.
Matt, last thing before I let you go, of course, you do work for Auto Week, but you also head up shorttrackscene.com, and a friend of ours did pretty well in a big short track race, and that was Stuart Friesen last weekend at the big late model race in Nashville, finishing second to Casey Roderick. Pretty impressive start for Stuart, first time in a big super late model race to have a great run like he did.
Yeah, it's a tremendous showing. I mean, I'll admit that when Stuart Friesen first started running the truck series a while back, I hadn't heard much about him. I mean, I'm from the Deep South originally, living in North Carolina and Alabama now. And so I hadn't come across him a ton, and he's been hugely impressive in the truck series. And then to turn around and get in a super late model, which when you run a truck, I think there are some things that do carry over. But most impressive to me was doing it at a place like Fairgrounds Speedway Nashville, which is just a tricky racetrack, and it's a legendary facility. And to be immediately right out of the gate, you know, they practiced mid-pack, but he said he was learning. And then to turn around and run second to Casey Roderick, who along with Bubba Pollard has been like 1 and 2, in the asphalt world, volumes to me. I get the impression, and you would know more than I would, that you could stick this guy in whatever, and he's just going to get the job done. I cannot wait to see what Stuart Friesen becomes in the next year or two, because it just seems like he's got more natural talent in his pinkies than a lot of drivers have in their entire body. This guy is good.
I'm not a big super late model guy, but I hope Stuart runs the Snowball Derby this December. I would pay Speed 51 to watch that.
Absolutely.
And he won a modified race yesterday. He was at the Grandview Speedway in Pennsylvania, won another dirt modified race. So, Matt, thanks for the time. Stay dry. Hopefully you're not there till Tuesday, and we'll hopefully talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Dave. Sorry for some of the logistical issues here. We've got the rain, and I'm having to stand outside. I know it's loud, but I appreciate you having me on, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, no, it sounded great. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you.
All right, Matt Weaver from Auto Week and ShortTrackScene.com. You can follow him on Twitter at MattWeaverAW. A lot of good stuff from Matt. If you're a NASCAR fan or short track fan, he's got always got good content, so give Matt a follow. When we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. We'll preview today's IndyCar race. We'll mention the Formula One race and take your phone calls 2880-3050, 1-888-550-2550. When we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
This is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
And Kyle Busch on the pole for today's race at Bristol, which we'll have right here on WGR coverage coming up right after we're off the air, Mike. Is that right? Yep, we're going right to PRN as soon as we're off the air here at 12 noon. And again, green flag scheduled for after 1 o'clock. I don't think it's going to happen, but Doug Rice and the company from PRN will give you updates, and we'll see if we get a race in today. Talking about local racing, Merrittville Speedway, they do have practice for this Wednesday, and their opener is a week from yesterday. They will, while Lancaster did schedule their opener, cancel their opener for next Saturday, Merrittville is still a go next Saturday night with a pretty good show. They always kick it off in a big way with the Patriot Sprints 358 Modified Sportsman and four-cylinder. So if you are looking for racing next Saturday, we might have a shot at it if you want to go over to Merrittville next Saturday night. So they do have their opener. They have practice on Wednesday. But Lancaster's opener that was scheduled for next Saturday is postponed due to the weather. There was some local racing, I guess you could call it. The BRP Modified Tour, they were down in West Virginia, but it was Eric Rudolph from Ranceville getting the win over Jeremiah Schingledecker, which is one of my favorite names in racing. Phil Vigneri, also from Niagara County, finishing third. Dave Murdoch and Rex King Jr., old Cooter King, rounding out the top five there as Eric got a little bit of break when the race leader blew up with about 10 laps to go and was able to take the win there. And as I said, at the end there with Matt Weaver, Stuart Friesen got a win last night at the Grandview Speedway in Pennsylvania, picking up the win in the inaugural Bruce Rogers Memorial at the Grandview Speedway. So some dirt tracks are getting there, getting open and getting some racing in a little bit south of here to kick off their 2018 racing season. Again, IndyCar, they will race today because there's no rain in Long Beach, and it's Alexander Rossi on the pole for today's race. He has been fast all weekend. And he was almost 4/10 quicker than Will Power in the Firestone Fast 6 qualifying round, as it'll be Rossi and Power on the front row, Simon Pagenaud, Scott Dixon in row 2, Graham Rahal, Joseph Newgarden in row 3, Ryan Hunter-Reay, James Hinchcliffe in row 4, Sebastian Bourdais, and rookie Robert Wickens, who again has had an impressive start this year. He will roll off 10th today at the Grand Prix of Long Beach. Formula 1 in the books, the Chinese Grand Prix. Daniel Ricciardo picking up the win for Team Red Bull over Valtteri Bottas and Kimi Raikkonen. Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen rounding out the top 5. Verstappen had a couple of incidents during the race, including a notable one where he and Sebastian Vettel got together, and that took Vettel out of contention. Vettel wound up 8th. He also had a late race run-in with Fernando Alonso, who tried to who passed him for position late in the race. Alonso wound up 7th. Kevin Magnussen, another top 10 finish for F1 Haas. And the other Haas car, not so good for Roman Grosjean, as he finished next to one of the last spots, finished the race, but one of the last cars running in 17th there at China for the Grand Prix.
Just a correction. We're going to do ESPN Radio for an hour, and then pre-race goes on.
Okay, because I believe all right, so we'll pick it up at 1 o'clock then. So yep. But I think they're going on the air at 12 noon. I could be wrong, but you'll get PRN at 1 o'clock then, and they'll give you an update on what is going on at Bristol. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back here next Sunday with more Fast Track here on WGR. Also coming up this Saturday night, the Bandits are on WGR 550, home against Toronto. A huge game for the Bandits as they're fighting for their playoff lives in a very competitive NLL East. They lost last night in Calgary, unfortunately, put up a stinker against the Roughnecks, and so they are now fighting for their playoff lives, tied for the final playoff spot at 8-8. And a win over Toronto would go a long way to get them into the postseason. It would knock Toronto out of contention and almost lock them into a playoff spot if they win this Saturday night at the KeyBank Center. We'll be on WGR at 7 o'clock. John Gertler, Randy Mearns, and myself will have the call, as we are not on the Twitter broadcast, unfortunately, as the league has hired their own broadcast crew to do the Twitter broadcast, unfortunately, so you will only find Gertz, Mernsey, and myself on WGR this Saturday night. But two big home games to round out the Bandit season this coming Saturday against Toronto and then April 28th against Rochester. So hopefully you guys can fill KeyBank Center and help the Bandits get back to the playoffs here in 2018. So listen for me Saturday night, or we'll talk to you next Sunday here with more Fast Track on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.